Hey there, we're Mighty Coconut, and welcome to Walkabout Talkabouts, a series of creative discussions between film and gaming luminaries. Let's tune in as they play a round of our studio's VR game, Walkabout Mini Golf. Thanks for listening.
Hi there, everybody. I am Lucas Martel. I'm the creator of Walkabout Mini Golf, and I'm here with some of the folks from the Pickleball One team. So I'm actually going to let you guys introduce yourselves as you maybe take your first shot, and we'll just kind of chat about some VR game development.
Would love to, My name is Raghu Bathina. I am the CEO and co-founder of Pickleball One, along with my partner Sridhar. Excited to be here and tell you a little bit about our journey.
Cool. Yeah, go ahead and take a shot if you want.
Sure.
I was about to say there'll be no judging, but there's going to be tons of judging. That's half the fun of this. we just get to mini golf is more fun when you
No worries.
Really just sort of grief everyone you're playing with. So. Sure. Yeah, Adrian. Right. Yeah, tell us a little about yourself.
Hey, my name's Adrian. I'm the lead developer on Pickleball One, based in New Zealand, and I'm pretty average at mini golf.
Cool. Well, yeah, and I already kind of introduced myself. Lucas Martel, creator of Walkabout Mini Golf. So I'll actually kind of kick this over to kind of talk to you guys about just sort of the genesis. Can you talk a little bit about, and I'm the worst one. Got too aggressive. Maybe you guys could talk a little bit kind of about the genesis of Pickleball One and where that game came from.
Yeah. So it's quite an interesting journey. We started out as a medical training studio. So we were doing training for physicians on how to use particular medical devices. So it was quite interesting. And that was actually going really well. And then around COVID time, things really slowed down, as you guys, things kind of went upside down. And so then we decided to move into, let me go ahead and take my shot here. We decided to focus on something that was really happening, which was the consumer side of VR. So that's kind of how we got into Pickleball One.
Okay, very cool. So then when you guys were doing medical, was that more sort of like more work for hire type stuff? Or was that sort of like, were you doing your own more sort of like entrepreneurial stuff?
It was work for hire, but we were very focused. My partner Sridhar is a physician. Wow. Okay, that's not surprising. my partner Sridhar is a physician, so we had some medical background on the team. And then we decided that going after training for medical devices, you know, like Medtronic or Watchman, Boston Scientific, they need training to train physicians. So we kind of got into that niche and had pretty good success in terms of people who were interested in using us for that training. So it's kind of work for hire, but very specific. Yeah.
Okay,
it's
cool.
A very specific niche. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. I know that world very much too.
Really?
Yeah.
I was saying we continue to do those projects. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because Mighty Coconut, we were a VFX and animation studio for a really long time before Walkabout. We're not doing that anymore. But yeah, we spent probably 10 years doing mostly. Yeah, mostly work for hire type stuff. Different, wasn't medical focused, but yeah, it's a very different world. So yeah, I am kind of curious. So you said that it was kind of the impetus was to sort of focus on commercial or the more like consumer side of VR, which was really just sort of blossoming in that like COVID was when a lot of that really started to pick up. So yeah, how did you guys kind of go about it? Was it strictly a business thing? What was the sort of like, what was the kind of the larger story behind focusing on that?
Yeah, no, that's interesting because when we were doing the medical, we had evolved to a product that required patients to put the headset on. And it was like a shared thing where one patient would put it on and then the next patient would put it on. And obviously with COVID, nobody wanted to share anything. So we kind of said, well, this is going to stop really fast. So then we said, let's go into the consumer because a lot of VR headsets were being sold. But I have a long history of racket sports. I really love racket sports.
Okay.
And so we said, let's do something we love. And I wanted to do something in tennis, but my partner very smartly said, hey, there's this game called pickleball, which looks like the next big thing. Let's do pickleball. Mm-hmm. And so that's when the journey started. And then I said, let's go do it. And I think part of it is just that, you know, entrepreneurial zeal of, okay, we've been doing medical training, but why not? Let's give it a try. You know, we haven't done gaming before. I mean, as you guys would have been like, well, we've never done games before, but let's try. And you kind of take one step after the other, and before you know it, you're doing it.
Yeah, totally. So I'm kind of curious what, like, especially coming from that world, sort of like, what was the sort of like, maybe what was the biggest challenge about sort of switching over from more of like that B2B or like the medical side to sort of like, did you guys self-publish? I'm imagining you did, or like, what was the sort of like how did all that stuff go?
I think we self-publish. I think the biggest challenge was really, you know, the challenge of getting the, game prop right and engaging for the user. In terms of the physics, that was really turning out to be a challenge, and that's where it was great that we met up with Adrian and his team, because they had been doing physics related stuff for a while. But it turned out it's an interesting journey, and is that as a team we were able to start in an app lab. Right? Put something out in App Lab, had our own beta, and we weren't really sure where, you know, what goes from here. But interestingly, Meta kind of discovered us and said, oh, this is pretty cool. We'd like to get you into the store. And then, you know, and so they put us on a journey, and then pretty quick, we were on the main store, which I think was amazing, because we were a first time game studio.
Totally. I think that was kind of a similar thing for us too, where like, we had been animation focused, and then I guess I had actually, so Walkabout for me was a solo project. It was almost more of a, just sort of a kind of a hobby thing on the side. And then, but we were very, very early on into that store. So it was before the App Lab merger and, a lot of those things. And it just happened to sort of be right place, right time to sort of make the contacts to make that happen. But that was huge. When did you guys launch Pickleball
so
One?
So we were in App Lab in December of 22.
Okay.
And then we launched on the main store in October of 23.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, yes, that was a good time, right, as the Quest 3 was first coming out.
It was great. It was really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've only been playing on a Quest 3. I'd assume that it plays on a Quest 2 as well, right?
Oh, yeah, it does. It does. Okay. We still have quite a few people on Quest 2.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Well, Adrian, I'm also kind of curious to hear how you kind of came on board the team. And I know you'd been at it was Matchpoint Tennis, right? Was one of the other projects that you had worked on?
Yeah, that's right. So Matchpoint Tennis, I have kind of a similar background to both of you guys, I guess. We're doing VR work for hire up here in New Zealand, and I developed Matchpoint Tennis as a passion project, really, and had released it on App Lab, but had kind of just parked it while we paid the bills with real work, and that's when Raghu reached out to me and said, "Hey, look, we like what you've done with Matchpoint Tennis. Like, how could you see that evolving into pickleball?" And that's really how our journey began. Mm-hmm. And so since that time, that was early 22, we've sort of moved completely into games now. We do games full time, work for hire is something that we dabble in when we need to, but for the most part, we spend all our time doing pickleball and tennis, which is great.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah, I'm kind of curious to hear, like, what's the, like, how many people worked on pickleball, but just also like what's the sort of like the makeup of the team.
So we've, here in New Zealand, we take care of pretty much all the development, and we have a team of four, including myself. We're all developers. Raghu based in Atlanta, and a team based in India as well, and they take care of a lot of the visuals, and then obviously Regu does the business side of things and the marketing and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and we have a QA team in India as well, so
okay.
A lot of the testing was done out of there, and continues to be done out of there. Yeah. So it's actually, really distributed, truly distributed, yeah.
Yeah, truly distributed. But you said you guys are in Christchurch, right? But you guys have an actual physical location in Christchurch.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we have an office here in Christchurch. We were all remote during COVID, but then we all enjoyed being co-located. I think just being in the space together and being able to bounce ideas off of each other without having to jump on a Zoom call is something that the team really, really likes. And I think it's been great for productivity. I know not all businesses are the same, but for us, that's definitely been great, just being in the same space.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I do. I miss having everyone in the same location. We're all remote, and I can't. Like, we're just designed that way now. But yeah, back when we were in animation studio, we were all located in the same place, and there was a lot of stuff that just kind of happened organically because everyone was in the same space and sort of like everyone kind of knew what everyone else was doing, just from, if nothing else, to seeing each other's screens throughout the day,
which we've never really
been able to replicate online. Yeah.
Right.
So, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. I was in the Silicon Valley for about 20 years, and you know, back then it was all in person. And, and you're right, magic happens right when you're together.
Well, and even sort of the relationships that form, like it's hard to sort of like build team culture and everything when everyone is remote. I mean, luckily we have a social game, so we're able to meet up in game. We're able to do more and more of our work actually together in headset, but. But you guys are also, because Pickleball also kind of has a bit of a social element. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that and how you guys are developing that.
Yeah. So one of the things that being a pickleball player myself, one of the things is big in the real game is in the real game is how people use it as a social channel, not only a physical workout type thing, but as a social thing. So we wanted to recreate that in the game. And it's doubles. So, you know, you have to have at least four people. And we see that there's friendships formed. I'm sure, you know, Walkabout has definitely does that as well. Friendships formed and people that play regularly together and so on and so forth.
Do you have an idea of how many folks on your that are playing? Are they mostly meeting up? Like, is it established sort of like friends that are playing, or is it kind of strangers that are meeting up and forming a group? Or what's the sort of like the makeup of that social side of things?
Yeah, we have a pretty active Discord community. So several people know each other from Discord, and they get on the game together. But I think evenings, you know, as in most games, evenings are very busy. So people go in there and you can find, you know, public games, and people usually find other people to play with. And we have a level system, so you can kind of indicate what level you are so you don't get too intimidated. And you can find people to play with that suit you.
So is that something that you self-select into, or is there like a ranking system that kind of automatically does that?
You self-select into it. You self-select into it, and that seems to have worked really well. We do have a ranking system now, but we haven't.
I'm really bad at this game.
Back we started.
Well, you'll get the hang of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Keep practicing.
But yeah, you have a ranking system, but it's mostly people self-select into what level they want to play in competitively or just in multiplayer, basically.
Yes, multiple. And then the ranking system is more for ranked matches and so on and so forth.
Very cool. Yeah, I'd if I could maybe shift topics just a little bit, I'd love to kind of ask a bit more, because one of the things that that I have spent a lot of time dealing with is you mentioned earlier just sort of like getting the physics and the gameplay and everything right. I'm kind of curious to hear maybe what you guys, if there's any interesting thing that you found, especially on kind of like the ball physics or You know, it's a thing that several games are having to deal with, of just sort of real-time physics and trying to make it feel real. Yeah, just kind of curious, any things you discovered or challenges you kind of ran into along the way?
Yeah, it's a really, it's quite a challenging topic. I think it's more challenging than we thought, like starting out, especially with tennis. One of the things that was particularly challenging is that, like, we know how good physics can be in VR, like with games like mini golf, as well as like table tennis or ping pong.
Yeah.
But what we've sort of discovered is that the more you move, like the faster you move the controller, and the more the sort of center of mass that you're interested in. So, for example, like a racket, where the a tennis racket, for example, where the center of mass is sort of away from the hand or away from the controller, and you've got really fast speeds, the harder it is to replicate the same amount of feel. And so that's been the biggest challenge, I think, for us is using what we know about physics and what's been done in research as well, mapping that into the game, and then sort of fine-tuning that model to feel correct across a broad range of shots and scenarios. And pickleball is really great because it is a very much like a feel and touch sort of a game, where you're dinking the ball and trying to put little amounts of spin on it and creep it over the net and work your opponent into corners and that kind of stuff, as opposed to, say, tennis, where you're blasting it a lot more and trying to put heavy topspin on it and stuff like that. So it's been a real interesting challenge to work on.
So it is almost more sort of like, I mean, I know that I mentioned sort of like the ball physics, but it sounds like the paddle physics and the sort of like more of that moment of contact is really the most difficult thing to get right.
Yeah, I think so. Like simulating how the ball behaves is relatively straightforward. It's really getting the moment of contact and like the relative velocity between the paddle or the racket and the ball.
Because
that's what really determines. And you see like sort of fine margins there where a small changes can result in really big changes in output, you know? So like a slight angle change at the moment of contact can have quite a drastic effect in the actual output of the ball's flight. So it's been really challenging to make something that feels quite forgiving and but still be realistic.
So I'm actually curious, just because something that we've run into is that we spent a lot of time up front really dialing in the physics, and then there was a little tweak, but we actually found really, really quickly that once we released the game, you can't change the physics at all because people get used to playing like that. I'd imagine you guys are probably even to a more extreme version are probably running into that as well, where like the paddle physics are likely locked in from what you had with the initial release. Or have you ever dialed that in or tweaked it at all?
Yeah, we did do like a significant update. It was fairly early in the life of the game. But yeah, you're right. Like people get used to a certain way of playing, and if you change it up on them, it instantly just feels bad. Whether that's more realistic or not, it doesn't really matter. It just feels different, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess we were lucky that it was fairly early in the life cycle of the game that we did that. But yeah, you're certainly right. Like it's really just very minor tweaks now, as opposed to big sweeping changes.
There was a interesting on that. I'll just mention, Lucas, there was a period where we thought the physics was pretty good, but people were like really adamant on what they felt real pickleball physics should be, which focused us to relook at it. And then we found out that a lot of our players are real pickleball players, and that's why.
Yeah.
Because they're actually playing every day. And so they didn't want to compromise. And that's why we spent a significant amount of time on a physics update, which I think now is really good, and finding a lot of people coming in and saying, hey, I play, I'm a 4-5 being a rating, and I play 3 times a week, this is the best physics I've seen, so on and so forth. So yeah, I'm quite happy.
And are you guys using, are you rolling your own physics entirely then, or are you using any sort of like we actually use physics under the hood, but we've got a lot of stuff that we've put on top of that and special things that we're sort of like kind of adding to the default vanilla physics stuff to add it. But yeah, are you guys this kind of role on your own?
It's pretty much the same, actually. It's we sort of hybrid between the physics stuff that comes out of the box from Unity, the game engine mm-hmm. of choice, and then, yeah, we sort of augment that with our own custom physics on top of that. So, yes, mostly we rely on the collision detection part of physics.
Okay.
We found that to be pretty good mm-hmm. and doesn't need a huge amount of tweaking from us. It's really the, like, resolving the contact. Like, once you hit the ball, that's where our system sort of takes over and says,
gotcha.
Why is this
yeah.
way? I think
calculating the like bounce or like a little spin, or if you've got, yeah, if you put enough spin on it, it's actually spinning through the air, things like that.
It's the spin, really, that where those sort of vanilla physics solutions fall short, I think. Usually the velocity is usually pretty good, but it's the spin mm-hmm. In racket sports where you notice the most, the things that we had to change the most, at least.
Gotcha.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Cool. Well, I mean, I could keep going talking about, I can talk about physics all day, but I'm kind of curious to hear sort of like where, because you mentioned that you're still pretty actively working on it. Can you talk at all about sort of like whether it's new features or just sort of like what's the sort of like the area of focus mm-hmm. or are you focusing on
sure.
newer, different games?
No, there definitely there's still quite a bit of focus. Oh, yeah. There you go. Sure. There's still quite a bit of focus on this game. I think I mentioned the social aspect. For example, we have something coming out called Open Play. Open Play is very common in real pickleball, where mm-hmm. you can have not just four, but like eight people on a court where
okay.
four are playing. It's kind of like King of the Hill. Whoever wins
okay.
stays, two people come out, and then two people come in, and then you can just keep playing for like hours.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we're bringing that out fairly soon. Mm-hmm. And that's exciting because we allow for spectators. So you have four playing and four can be watching.
Okay.
And so with Open Play, you know, each person is kind of their own team and you're trying to see how many matches you can win in this
okay.
format. Each time you could be paired with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I think Adrian mentioned earlier is we really are keen to stay true to the game of pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you know, looking at what are the fun aspects of real life pickleball that we can bring in as much
mm-hmm.
as possible.
Gosh. And so that was that something that the players were requesting, or was that something that you guys just being, you know, fans and players of the game sort of like knew that you wanted to add? Or how do you kind of go about making those decisions on what to focus
on? No, as you know, it's a mix, right? So there's some things that people will ask for, you know, certain
mm-hmm.
things like how do I find friends and how do I make matches, certain things
mm-hmm.
they've seen in other games, for example, in Walkabout. So we actually implemented a, you know, create a game with a name. So then you can enter the name and find the games. Very similar to
yep.
what Walkabout does.
Okay.
But some of these things are just because of loving the game itself in real life and seeing what
mm-hmm.
people do in real life
mm-hmm.
and kind of bringing that in. So we started doing this thing called a new user survey where we get to
mm-hmm.
See, you know, basically ask questions to people who have just newly bought the game and try to understand
yeah.
what they're looking for, you know, what's their background, do they play the game in real, do they play pickleball in real life, and so on and so forth. And that's been really telling, actually. It's quite surprising. And
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you a couple of the surprising things we realized. One is that our demographic is like, average age is like probably 42
okay.
For a game, up to 65 plus.
Okay.
And 75% of our players play in real life. They've actually played the game in real life.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's quite fascinating. And so then we asked them, why did you buy Pickleball One? And most of them did it because they're learning pickleball or they want to get better at pickleball. So
okay.
they're using this game as, and that's where the real world, the physics, it matters a lot to these people because
yeah.
they see this as a way that they can practice their dinks in their living room or, you know, practice their serve returns and so on and so forth. So it's quite fascinating.
Yeah. And did you guys find then, I mean, this is kind of going back to the physics question a little bit, but were people kind of, are they, do the skills translate sort of like almost one-to-one or maybe not quite one-to-one, but like it is something that people are actually able to use to sort of like as almost like a training thing then?
Yeah, I mean, our users are telling us, you know, it's not me to claim that, but I think, you know, it has a lot to do with hand-eye coordination, definitely timing, you know. You don't have certain things, like the haptics aren't definitely not as strong as what you get with a real paddle and ball, but definitely the hand-eye coordination, the feel, some of these things. Because when you're just playing matches in real pickleball, you're not going to get better, right? You're going to have to do practice, and this gives them a chance to do that. So, I think it does. I mean, we have multiple reviews from people saying that, hey, this is actually, this has actually helped me improve my real game. So,
Yeah, totally. And I haven't, one of the things that I actually haven't been able to do, because you guys do have like a mixed reality mode, don't you, that you're able to play sort of full court, like in real, like actually physically moving around your space, right?
Yes, we do.
I need to find just like, we've actually got a space here at the office that I just need to take the time to actually like set it up and see that, because I could imagine that would be a super cool, maybe even slightly slightly scary experience just running around. Well, I guess if you're in mixed reality, you're seeing the real world around you. So, but yeah, you do have to move pretty quickly though.
So we kind of foresaw that this would be an issue. Like, we don't want people running around too much. So we have a mixed reality mode, which is called Dink Practice, where you're pretty much, it keeps you, like the AI will keep you close to the net. It's not going to move you too much. And you just kind of doing dinks. And so if you have like a 6x6 space, you should be fine.
Should be okay to do that. You don't have to have the full court.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to have the full court. Yeah, yeah. But although we do have a full court mode too, where you can run.
If you've got the space, I'll have to. I wish that I got a chance to really sort of test that out before chatting with you guys. But Well, I think we only have time for sort of like kind of one more kind of question here. We actually. We're actually on hole 10 here. We went past the usual 9, but that's great. We can keep playing for a little bit. I'm kind of curious, any thoughts or advice you have for folks who are wanting to get into VR development or game dev in general, whether that's business, entrepreneurial, technical, like, yeah, just kind of anything at all. So when people come up and say, like, hey, I'd love to do what you do, what do you recommend for them?
It's a cliche, but I would say pick something that you love. Even if if you want to use VR, pick something that you really enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. Like anything, it depends where you're starting, but there's a lot of hard work involved. And I think the more you are passionate about what you're doing, the more energy you're going to put into it and results you're going to get out of it. So that would be my advice.
Yeah. But recommending too, is that people actually like start a project, like just take something on and just start doing it basically.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. That's how that's been my experience. It's just want to play tennis in VR or just make it.
Start figuring it out. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say something that Guy Kawasaki said is fail fast, meaning put it out there quickly, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you may have a grand vision of this game and how people will play, but try to get something out there and get real feedback quickly so that you're not drinking your own Kool-Aid. And you're getting people to tell you, this is the thing. And you know, they'll guide you going forward. So
cool.
Yeah. But I agree with Adrian. You should do what you love. And it's not like work. It's fun.
Yeah. I mean, that's also been the sort of like one of the great parts about VR is that it's sort of, because it was such a new medium, there's been a lot of opportunities to do some of these, like, I mean, smaller games, and I don't mean that in a negative way, because we were also like, we started off with just 4 courses, but it was relatively smaller games that we were able to perfect over time, as opposed to having to go against AAA studios that are sinking, you know, $100 to $500 million into a production. VR sort of like has really been sort of a place to kind of nurture a lot of those, like, you had mentioned it, so like you come from the medical background, this is your first time. Actually, had you released any games before pickleball, or was that your first one?
No, Pickleball One is our first game.
It's sort of, it's a really interesting space that's definitely a little bit more, it's easier to stand out without, again, spending $100 million plus sort of like on getting something out there. So very cool.
There is an audience, like you said, that appreciates.
Sorry to interrupt you guys. I was going to say, in a strange way, the VR landscape now, which is where you see a lot of free-to-play games coming in and doing quite well. It's even the playing field even more, I think, where people can, smaller games can succeed even more than they could before. So it's, if you're starting out, there's still an avenue for success with a small project.
Yeah, totally. Well, I'm trying to, is there anything else that you guys were wanted to add, or can you talk at all about what you're working on next, or is that still kind of hush hush?
I can talk a little bit. I think, like I said, we have seen people wanting to, as I said, we're going to do more things to make the game more social, more fun, bring more real life pickleball stuff. So I think in that line, we're going to do more. I think you'll see us do more related to training, more things that our user base is asking for. And so some of that will be coming out this summer. So that's, we're pretty excited about that. Not ready to fully talk about it, but kind of excited about that. And then, you know, Adrian said free to play is interesting. So we may even delve into that a little bit, do some things for the younger audiences. So,
awesome. Yeah. Cool. Well, yeah. But Lucas, thank you so much for...
Have to thank you. Thank you for your time and arranging this. You and Wesley, it was really very kind of you guys, David.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's great to talk about devs. Hopefully we'll meet up in person at one of the, whether it's GDC or DICE or whatever the next big game event is. So, but thanks everybody for watching. And yeah, thanks to Raghu and Adrian for playing around with us.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.